Welcome back to another episode of Sports Castle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared. This week in local sports.
The only way is west as Stockton bounce back.
Women's nines hit centre stage.
The Jets women and youth show the men how it's done.
Chariots of fire as students plunder the Tigers.
All that and more in local sport. Well, mate, fresh off the touch paddock, another win for the Grasshoppers, led by the marquee recruit. There is some questions about salary cap auditing, but Luke Bird, mate, I think he's averaging 3.5 tries a game.
He's a pretty handy pickup, mate, so hopefully he keeps turning up. So, yeah, he's done well, and he's very quick, so he's showing the young guys how to do it, mate, at the moment.
Oh, yeah, lucky I'm not there because he just looked quicker.
That's right, maybe.
It must make you feel slow, mate, because you're not much quicker than me.
Yeah, that's right. I just give him the ball and let him do his thing, mate. He's pretty good pickup and, showing Dex the way to the try line.
Yeah, mate. So can we confirm, has Dex got off his nudie run yet?
No, he hasn't, mate. He was very close tonight. He was within 5 metres, but, got touched, so he'll have to keep trying.
Maybe you need to do some watching of the NFL. Watch that, Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott, the running back from Dallas, mate. He just goes and hurdles over people.
Yeah, that could work. He's got a pretty big frame, so might be a bad idea. Might mention it to him.
I don't know how good Dex's vertical leap would be. It'd be about as successful as Xavier's Tinder career, I reckon.
Yeah, probably.
But, mate, good to see another win for the Grasshoppers, but we'll move on to the other oval ball stuff and we'll have a look at the women's CRL 9s, mate. Again, our CRL 9s correspondent, Mr. Mick Donald Bradman Akers, has shot through the updates. It's finals weekend at Berkeley Vale on Saturday, mate, so I'm sure there'll be a bumper crowd down there. Are you going to make your way down or...?
I won't get time to get down there, unfortunately, mate, but I wish the girls all the best.
Mate, so I'm just having a look, and so there's a 4-team final series and a 5-team final series. So Pool Yellow, which is the second tier pool, they'll play a 5-team final series, and the Red Maroon pool will play a 4-team final series. So obviously the 4-team final series is a bit more straightforward than the other one, but typical 5-team. So we're looking at, obviously, the big stuff, mate. We'll just run across the top pool this week. It looks like West Newcastle finished the top of the ladder, Awabakal and Aberglass in second and third, and Waratah in fourth, mate. So both of our sides in the finals.
Yeah, looking good, mate. So I think Waratah are the Smokies to come from fourth, so hopefully they can get it done, mate.
All right, so I'm going to go West Aberglass in final. Who are you going?
I'm going to go Waratah.
Yep.
And who's in the other semi?
A Wobbuckle and Aberglassen.
I'm going to go the Ants to get it done, mate.
So you reckon you and I are facing off in the big dance, Waratah, Aberglassen?
Yeah, that's what I reckon. And, fingers crossed for Mr. Tapper that it gets done so he can strap the girls for another week, mate.
He's not allowed near the girls. Don't be silly. He's not allowed near the girls or boys under the age of 18.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but anyway... But, so the games start at 10 o'clock with the first round of the Yellow Pool semi-finals there at Berkeley Vale Oval. The final will be at 1:30 for the Yellow and 1:20. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but the scheduling doesn't look real good there. I think it might be a little bit later than 1:30. The time slots might be a bit out of whack. But, mate, it'll certainly be a cracking day of finals action. Plenty on the line in the second series of the CRL Central Coast Hunter Women's Nine. So good luck to all teams involved, but a special good luck to the Ants. We'll just run through, mate, the finishing order for the teams in the yellow pool. I'm not going to go through all the fixtures, but Berkeley Vale, their second team, finished the minor premiers, essentially. University, the runners-up in the Newcastle and Hunter Ladies League Tag, finished second. Wanji, Kingcumber and Karua. Wanji were on top with 2 weeks to go, mate, so they fell away a little bit late there and were usurped by Berkeley Vale Yellow and University. So they might have a bit of a point to prove, mate. I might tip Wanji to win the second tier.
Yeah, I had Karua get up, mate.
Yeah, you love the ruse, don't you?
Yeah, mate, sure do.
All right, so that's the Newcastle Hunter Nines. So, sorry, the Central Coast Hunter Women's Nines. make sure if you've got some time on Saturday and you're around Burke Vale, get down there and check it out. It promises to be an absolute belter, mate. I know the couple of games that I've watched, there's been some big hits and some fairly impressive skills, knowing that a lot of these girls haven't played, nines or rugby, contact rugby league before, and a lot of them haven't even played league tag. So great to see, and great to see everyone getting involved, the women adding to the regular expose of men's rugby league that we have aplenty across Newcastle and the Hunter.
Yeah, that's right, mate. You've got to grow the game, and yeah, hopefully it can go from strength to strength and, yeah, get new people involved, mate.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. You're 100% on the money there. While we are on rugby league, though, before we move on to some of the other sporting codes, I guess, the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League have named their under-23s rep side to compete in the country championships next year. Now, this is obviously a squad coached by former Cronulla hooker Dean Bosnich, mate. That's a bit of a coup.
Was a handy player in his day, mate.
Yeah, he was. He coached Central, and he also coached up in Darwin as well for a little bit while. I was up there. I coached the Litchfield Bears, mate. So he's been around the traps. And, mate, I'm just going to run through the squad very quickly. It's about, there's a few blokes in the squad. I think we're looking at about 30-man squad. And it will be cut down. And I understand from talking to a couple of people involved that a couple of these players are in talks with Newcastle Rugby League clubs, which, due to the affiliation of Newcastle Rugby League to New South Wales Rugby League and Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League to Country Rugby League, they would not be eligible for this squad, as I understand it. So we just go through. We've got Zach Ansell from Cardiff, Liam Backus, Windale, Hayden Baker from Avmain, Zach Barker from Wanji, Jack Beagley from West Falls End, Sean Bell, Woodbury, Aiden Bills, Karua, Zach Brown, Dora Creek, Mitch Bryant from Wanji, Fred Campbell from Cardiff, Liam Dooley from Fingal Bay, Tom Field from Uni, Kyle Hanford, Woodbury, Matt Heaton, Cardiff, Nick Goodfellow, who was in our team of the year from University, mate, Hayden Thompson from Malabula, Tyler Kearsey from University, Ty Henderson from Dora Creek, Fred Kearse from Morissette, who was the C-grade player of the year, I believe, Caleb McGrady-Munro from Paterson River, Will Meehan from Stockton, Dan Melmoth from West Falls End, he was in our squad as well, the Sportscastle team of the year, Greg Morris from East Maitland, Joel Newman from Dora Creek, Thomas Payne from West Falls End, Kane Roby from Raymond Terrace, Boston Smith from Dora Creek, again in our team of the year, Jason Smith from Paterson River, Apelli Vure from Dora Creek, Kane Waterman from Raymond Terrace, and Joshua Upwood from Gloucester. Mate, it looks like there's about a dozen clubs represented there, mate. I'm nearly out of breath after reading through everyone. But great to see a lot of clubs represented, and yeah, a little bit pleasing that obviously they're seeing the same players we are, and identifying them as the future stars of Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League.
Yeah, that's spot on, mate. It's good to see a couple of the boys from your favourite sporting ground as well, Dora Creek, getting in there, mate. So
yeah, they're a fairly strong representation. I think they had five in a 30-man squad, mate, so that's probably the strongest representation. Cardiff's got a couple. A few others. West Falls End have got a couple. Woodbury have got a couple. But, yeah, certainly Uni have got three, I think, so I certainly think that was the strongest representation. So well done to Dora Creek, a good young side on the rise.
Yeah, that's true, mate. I think, you know, we might be onto something here. I think we might put our hand up to select the team for 2020, I reckon.
Yeah, mate, might get a call up. We'll wait and see. Hopefully they can organise a senior rep match as well, mate. That'd be very exciting. I have had it confirmed that Mick Akers is available for that. Doesn't even know if the game's going ahead, but he's available, so but unfortunately, a bit like this is under 23s, that team will be under 55, so Shane Tapper won't be eligible.
Poor old Shane.
Poor old Shane, mate. Newcastle under rugby league, if they're paying for travel, they can't afford to pay for that much tape as well. Or his walking frame that he's going to require. So, yeah, no, again, congratulations to everyone selected. I think it's going to be a really great opportunity for those young guys to, you know, they're going to be really, really have their work cut out for them against some of those really strong CRL rep teams. But under the tutelage of Dean Bosnich, I'm sure he will get the best out of them. And there's some really promising players there. So really looking forward to seeing how that shapes up for them, mate. And a good spread too, mate. Players from A grade through to D grade. So great to see.
Yeah, it is, mate. It is. And I suppose, like you said, as we've harped on all year, that there was, you know, it was pretty competitive right through the grades, but as like you point out a number of times, there was still handy blokes running around in D grade. So there's not much between the comps, but yeah, good luck to all the boys and getting the pre-season and train up.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And from that, mate, we'll move on to some round ball action, I think, is next up, and might just touch on the youth league, mate. They had a big win against the old enemy on the weekend, a 3-1 win over Central Coast Mariners.
Nice, mate. Nice. And I suppose it's bodes well for the city. Hopefully they're showing the big boys how to get the wins on the board, mate.
Yeah, mate. And interestingly enough, the one of the goal scorers was the same man that scored for us in the A-League the week before, Nick Cowburn.
Nice. So his week off.
Yeah, enjoying his week off, having a hit out as one of the overage players. And one of the young blokes, speaking of teams of the year, that made the Sportscaster Northern New South Wales NPL team of the year, Kai Tapaldo, got a double, mate. So, yeah, going well. So that sees the Jets sitting in third in their pool of the Y League after two games. But looks like Sydney and Wanderers might have a game in hand. They've both had a bye already, so they've got a game in hand. But we're in front of Central Coast and Canberra, which is a good start, mate.
It is, mate, it is. I suppose, you know, like we've said before, it bodes well for the future, and, you know, I suppose they're in the squad, so, you know, Big Ernie will be watching, mate, so if you put your name on the score sheet or have a fat game, you might get a run in the first team.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see what happens, mate. Obviously, yeah, he's using it to get a bit of game time in some of those players as well, which is good to see. The great man Laurie's involved in coaching that Y League team, so good to see. I think it's Laurie and maybe the other one escapes me. It's a former player.
Labino Halidi.
I was getting confused with the bloke that plays, whose name also escapes me, plays for Western Sydney Wanderers still, Tarek Elrich.
That's Tarek Elrich, yeah.
But also on the weekend, on Saturday, mate, at McDonald Jones Stadium, the Jets hosted Canberra United in the W League. Canberra United were undefeated and were sitting equal top of the ladder heading into round three. The Jets were yet to register a point. They'd only played the one game. They had a bye in the first round and then a loss. They managed to, thanks to a sublime strike from Courtney Vine on half-time in stoppage time in the first half. And, mate, it's worth going back onto the Jets' social media to check this out. It's a fair strike, the way she curled it into the left-hand side as she faced the goal from the right-hand side. It was an impressive strike, and that was enough to see the Jets girls get the chocolate. So two from two wins on the weekend for the Jets. That lifts us up to seventh out of nine teams. But as I said, we do have a game in hand because we've had that bye. So essentially we're probably... You know, Canberra, you know, the teams all the way up to third are only 1 point in front of us, and we've got a game in hand. So, well within the mix at the moment, mate.
Yeah, mate, that is true. And, yeah, I did see that strike. It was pretty handy. But, they've got the Wanderers this week. So, let's hope they can carry on. And, yeah, hopefully we can get three wins this week, mate, and the city will be rocking.
Yeah, that'd be nice, mate. So, just having a look ahead, as you said, to this weekend, mate. I think it'll be very difficult for us to get three wins because we only play two games.
Oh, damn.
The youth league have got a bye, mate, so we won't be getting a win there. But as you did say, the W League, they do play on... It's interesting, they're playing on Saturday night at Marconi against Western Sydney, and the men obviously play Friday night against the Wanderers also, but it's spotless. So obviously hard to play a doubleheader on Friday night when a lot of the girls and same with the youth league, you know, players are still working and those sorts of things. It's enough of a commitment that they've got the Thursday night Fox game, so they've got to commit to, you know, attending those. But, yeah, certainly be interesting to see, mate. And at this stage, the Wanderers are sitting with no points after three games in the W League. So, mate, I'll be tipping the girls to get a win there, hopefully. Looking for those girls coming back from Matilda's duty to really continue to hit the ground running and bring that experience back in.
Yeah, I think they'll carry on. I think Craig Deans is doing a good job there, mate. And, yeah, I reckon they'll carry on with the win, and I expect a big game from co-captain Emily Van Egmon, mate.
Yeah, right. Looking forward to it, mate. It's a fairly famous name in Newcastle soccer circles. That one, the surname.
Certainly is.
But moving on, mate, we'll move on to the big boys, so to speak, the A-League. As you said, we did have a bye for the international round. Obviously, The Socceroos played two games, a very fortunate draw with South Korea, and a 3-0 win, and a farewell to the one and the only Timmy Cahill, mate, last night at ANZ, which myself and good friend of the show, Chris Pebbles Longworth, was were in attendance for, and we certainly enjoyed that one, mate. It was a cracker, and good to see Mr. Boyle really making himself a true Aussie. It's amazing how much people love him now. They were questioning it before.
Yeah, certainly were. But certainly made a bang, mate, on his first, I suppose, weekend as an international.
Yeah, but, didn't do too much on Saturday, but certainly made an impression. He looks very direct and looks like he really presents a different option for us. So good to see, mate.
It is, mate. He doesn't come with the baggage, and I think it's good. Obviously, we're going to replace Cahill. He's had a great career, but Asian Cup, that's what we're looking forward to now. So I think he's definitely booked his ticket after that. So, yeah, something to look forward to, mate, in the after Christmas.
Yeah, mate, exactly right. But let's get on to the crux of what we're here for, Hoff's House. Mate, we're starting Friday night, as we touched on just before. The Western Sydney Wanderers host the Newcastle Jets at Spotless Stadium. The Wanderers sitting fifth, the Jets in ninth, yet to win a game. Mate, funnily enough, the betting agencies have us about the same price as them, a little bit in front of them to win the comp this year.
Yeah.
But the Wanderers are significant favourites for this game, mate. So, who do you like, and how do you see it playing out?
I think it's they're a bit resurgent from that trial we saw about 6 or 8 weeks ago up at Maitland, mate.
It's a very, very different squad. They only probably had five of their starting 11 out there that day, which obviously has a significant influence on that.
Yeah, I think Babel's obviously changed a little bit about what they're about, but I think it is going to be a tough game for us, and I think if we can click in that front third, it could be anything, but I'm tipping a draw in this game, mate.
You and me both, mate. One all draw again, I think. I think Western Sydney will score in the first half, and we'll battle away and get something in the back end of the second half, probably around the 70th odd minute to level it up, and look for Dimmy smarting after having to spend all night last night sitting on the bench watching everyone else warm up and get involved. So, yeah, look for him to have a crack and score the equaliser.
Yeah, nice.
Next off, mate, Saturday the 24th, we see Wellington Phoenix host Adelaide United as Adelaide United travel across the ditch to Westpac Stadium. Even though they're on the road, Adelaide United significant favourites. Interestingly enough, only one competition point separates these two teams.
Yeah, it's probably a bit surprising. Obviously, we had Wellington down lower on the table, mate, but they're playing well with their nine-man defence. But I think Adelaide are just in red-hot form, mate, and I think they'll get it done by 3 goals.
Yeah, look, mate, I think Adelaide will be comfortable winners here. I mean, if you have a look at it, Wellington did start the season well. I wouldn't say they're still playing well. They've only got 1 point out of their last 3 matches, whereas Adelaide have picked up 4 from their last 3 matches. So, sort of different runs on their three-game versus five-game streaks. Adelaide started the season quite slowly with a loss and a draw, whereas Wellington got those 2 wins, and I think everyone's worked out how to play against that new structure that Mr. Radan's introduced over there. So, look, mate, I think Adelaide will be comfortable winners. Next up, mate, we've got Brisbane Roar hosting Melbourne City on Saturday night up at Suncorp Stadium. Melbourne City sitting in third, Brisbane down in eighth. Similar to the Jets, mate, Brisbane one of three sides yet to taste victory. Melbourne City, on the other hand, have had a bit of an up and down run, a couple of wins, a couple of losses and a draw. So, certainly still not quite clicking for Melbourne, and Brisbane not quite finding the ground, not quite hitting the ground the way they probably would have been hoping.
No, yeah, I think you're right there. I think Melbourne City, haven't hit the heights, I suppose, but it is early doors. I think Brisbane's going to click in this one, mate, and I think they're going to cause a bit of a boil over. I think they'll get it done 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-all, mate. I'm going the draw. There's plenty of goals in both sides. Both sides have got some good players up front that know how to find the back of the net. So I think it'll be an entertaining one, mate. And I think it'll be a fast start to that game. On Sunday, Jubilee Oval at Kogra, Sydney FC host Melbourne Victory, mate. This one, the Big Blue. It's a bit of a rivalry game. Sydney FC they're in pretty good form. They haven't lost any of their last four starts after starting the season with a loss. Certainly on the improve, mate. They did obviously allow that late goal against the Jets last week to go from 3 points to one, and essentially they would have been on the top of the league if they had have held out there, but they couldn't do it, and now they take on a Melbourne Victory side who could get the win. Only the week before that up here in Newcastle and have strung together two wins on the trot.
They have, and I think this is going to be an intense battle, mate. I think it's going to be entertaining and end-to-end, but I just think the home side have got the runs on the board, mate. I think they're going to get it done by two goals.
Yeah, look, mate, there's never any love lost in this one, but again, I am going with, the home side, as you like to love to refer to them as, mate. You might need to start clearing that up for the punters, mate. Some of the guys, if they drift out for a minute, they won't know who you're talking about. So we might try and maybe revert to actually using the team names, might be a bit clearer. I'm going to go for Sydney FC as well. I don't know whether they'll win by two, but I think they will get it done. I think they'll probably be the clear better side out there, but maybe just a one goal win. We wrap up the weekend on Sunday evening over at NIB Stadium. The ladder leading Perth host the cellar dwelling Central Coast Mariners. There's a juicy $7 on offer if you want to put some money on the Mariners, mate. But it looks like the big fella Popper, he's got the boys in purple firing.
He does, mate, and he does. And I think the early season draws we've pointed out a few times is definitely working in their favour, playing most of their games early doors at home. I think Perth are going to get this done, and I think it's going to be a big margin here, mate, especially the way the Central Coast opened up last round against the Victory.
Yeah, well, mate, they didn't do much last week, right? So, and as you say, Perth have had it's just been week on, week off over there at NIB, so it hasn't been anything too outrageous. But, they're up for their third home game this round, and looking the goods, mate. I think Perth will be comfortable winners. Central Coast Mariners look to really have some defensive woes, and they seem to be spending too much time picking the ball out of the back of the net to be worrying too much about attack. So I will be going Perth as well, mate. I've actually pressed submit again here, so hopefully these ones save this time. And we'll just wait and see. Otherwise, I may find where Footy Tips head off, ESPN Footy Tips head office is and burn it to the ground. So, mate, that's the round ball action. Now, as per request and per promise, we're going to have a look at the Maitland and District cricket this week, mate. I know you're excited. Just try and keep calm. Mate, there's some names here that you'll know quite well. So we'll run through this week's results and then we'll have a look at the standings. So we've just wrapped up the second day of, the fourth round of the two-day comp. Western Suburbs took on Eastern Suburbs at Coronation Oval. Western Suburbs 182 and 8 for 153 declared, defeated East 103 and 170. So a lot of part innings and things here. It's probably the standout for Wes was Mr. Sorry, I'm just trying to get first names here. I don't know too many of these players. I know a few, but not all of them. Tony Fuller with an 85 in the first innings. And that was probably the crux of steering West to the win. West versus East, obviously a bit of a rivalry game there. In other games, Raymond Terrace 171 were defeated by Curry Western 9 for 302. Now just make sure I'm clear here. This is Mr. Kappa, not Mr. Tapper, that top scored for Curry Western. A very handy century. Casey Kappa posted 108 there, so he's got a couple of other half tons earlier in the season, the T20 and then in the two-day comp as well. So looking like he's in some solid form there, Casey Kappa, mate.
Yeah, he is. Good looking good, mate. Maybe you could jump ship and come and jump down here on the NDCA, mate.
Yeah, possibly, mate. I guess we'll wait and see. Next one, mate, Port Stephens Pythons. They travelled to Thornton Park. It looks like Port Stephens, their first innings was not ideal. They got bowled out for 92. A name there, a couple of names that you'll know there, mate. The brothers Moxie, Josh and Jared.
Yep.
Former Stockton players. Playing, yeah, so as I said, they bowled out for 92, and the Moxie brothers were the top scorers with 21 and 13 respectively. So it looks like Josh Moxie's captaining the Pythons at the moment, so it looks like a family affair. There's four Everleys in the team and two Moxies, so a real family affair. The standout for Thornton Park with the ball was Jake Reeves with 5 wickets in that first innings, 5 for 17 off 10.2. That's some pretty solid figures, mate. Thornton Park made ease of getting a first innings lead. They posted 4 for 157. And no one reaching the half ton there. And yeah, so no real standouts in the wicket takers. Port Stephens then 7 for 208 declared. And Thornton Park 9 for 68. They finished up with, so a bit of a turnabout there, where both sides had a decent dig, and in that 208 again, no one reaching the 50, mate. Quite an interesting one there. So, yeah, a few starts, but nothing to talk about, nothing to write home about. In Port Stephens' second bowling stint, 3 of the 4 bowlers were Everleys, but 5 for 18 for Jason Everley in the second innings. A very handy bowling display to put the pressure on Thornton Park. But it looks like Thornton Park got home on first innings overall.
Yeah, nice, mate. Definitely a game of two halves, as we like to say in footy terminology.
Looks like it might have been a game of 2 days, mate, that one.
Yes.
So, mate, the big one, though, Northern Suburbs versus City United. I had a couple of blokes by the name of Trappel here doing some damage. City United, they won the toss and batted first. They posted 288 in the first innings. Josh Trappel, 124 runs. The skipper, Matt Trappel, he picked up a sneaky 76. The standout bowler, mate, with 6 for 69 was Jordan Callanan. Yeah, I'm going to take a punt and say, with him being at Norse, it'd be a relation to Josh, who I think is now at Merriweather.
Yes.
Playing second grade, the journalist. But 6 for 69 from 26.2 overs, mate. So that's a fair stint out of 78.2. So he's bowled a bit more than a third of the overs. North then were rolled for 102. And that looks like the amount of it. In their 102, though, it looks like a couple of 3 wicket hauls, 3 for 22. For Tim Baker, the opening bowler, off 9, and then 3 for 16 off 5 for Cameron Wynn. But all the bowlers chiming in with some wickets there, mate. Josh Trappel, 1 for 15 off his 6 overs as well. So another one to mention here, mate, just looking at this, is some miserly bowling. 1 for 5 off 10.2 for Nick Bower with 6 maidens.
Yeah, former Waratah first grader, mate.
Very handy, right, mate. They've got some handy cricketers in that side, and moving across to the ladder, I'm sure it will be as to no surprise that City United, who do feature the Trappel brothers and Nick Bower, are runaway leaders, 4 points clear atop the ladder from Curry Western, and the quotient, they are a full, Curry Western are in second, they've got a quotient of 1.9. City United at 3.1.
Wow.
So they are flying. Curry Western in second on 20, and then there's a bit of a gap to Raymond Terrace, West, North, Thornton, Port Stephens, and then East are bringing up the rear there, mate. So, yeah, so as we said, we've had a request there. Look, if you are after some competition updates, and we will do the Maitland one from time to time, won't be every week, yeah, we'll certainly have a look at it if we can get some available scores and some updates, and we've got something there to speak about, or if it's a competition that you passionately follow and you think some other people might get some benefit from it, let us know and we can get you on the show.
Sounds good, mate. Sounds good.
Mate, we'll move on to the probably a bit more our bread and butter, mate. Have a look at the Newcastle and District Cricket Association, mate. Plenty of action and a few washouts in the first couple of rounds, and we'll just punch through where things are at, mate, and then have a look at naming our player of the week, which is exciting this week, the first one of those, so that'll be exciting. Might start with University, mate. Give us a bit of a rundown. They hosted Wall's End and they batted first, and look, it looked like it might have been an all right start for Wall's End early doors.
Yeah, it did, and have it on good authority that Pricey won the toss and dobbed him in, but Birdie said Andrew Harriott, if he won the toss, would have done the same thing. So,
well, mate, they had him 3 for 41 at one point. So, look, you know, at that point they would have been pretty happy. Unfortunately, they then didn't take another wicket for 174 runs.
Yeah, that's right. I think Pricey and McGann went off, and Birdie said they went pretty quickly. The run rate there in the middle overs, and Harriott and Hudson went berserk.
Yeah, there was three bowlers, Bray, Page, and Beattie, all went for at least a run a ball, and they bowled 18 overs between them. So that probably would have been the damage, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's right. And, Hudson went ballistic, mate. Got 100 after we called him out last week. He likes
playing Wall's End, mate, and it shows in this week's Player of the Year rankings, which will go out tomorrow, that he's made a bit of a move up the leaderboard, as has Mr. Harriet off the back of his 169 not out.
Very good innings.
Some red ink, mate. But, yeah, it looks like, as you said, McGann and Price obviously came back on and shouldered the load of the bowling attack. But 5 for 329 and a bit of an interesting tactic. It looks like Nathan Price might have sent out two night watchmen, mate.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, he wants a full 90 overs this week to knock the runs over, mate.
Yeah, so 69 deliveries faced for a total of 12 runs, six of which were extras. So a great job by James Beattie and Ryan Brooks to give them the opportunity at batting out a full day this Saturday over there at Uni Oval, mate. So certainly be interesting to see what comes from that.
Yeah, that's right. I think, as we've said, Price and Montgomery will have to shoulder a lot of that, mate. And I think they're going to have to bat 70 to 80% of the day if there are any chance, but... Yeah, Uni's in a strong position and top of the table for a reason, mate, and I think they'll carry it on and get the win.
Yeah, well, that's it. They need 318 runs from 90 overs, so they've got to score at 3.5 and over. And if they bat every over out, if they're batting any less than that, it's starting to look at 4 or more and over, which is, you know, it's doable, but it's a big ask to do that consistently. I mean, you've only got to look at Uni. They only scored just over 4 and over, even with taking to a few bowlers across the day, so they faced only 80 overs. So, yeah, certainly an interesting one, mate. And as you said, the key men, obviously, Price and Montgomery. Ryan Brooks, if he can stay in for a while, he can bat. And Young and Clark can bat as well. So it's not like they're absolutely out of options, mate. And the fact they've had the two night watchmen, if they can just, again, 3.5 and over is not a huge amount. So if they can just plod some runs without losing that first wicket too early. And then, you know, I mean, you're essentially allowing the batting order stays as is normal. You're going to have Nathan Price and Jacob Montgomery coming in at 5 and 6. So if they're coming in at, you know, 3 for 100 and 4 for 180 or something, they're probably in good spots.
Yeah, that's right, mate. But I suppose, like we've said a heap of time, that first session's the key. They've got to get through that, I reckon, and they can have a crack.
Yeah, mate. I think Uni will get the job done. Obviously, very difficult for an out right now. But, we need a knock of Harriet-esque excellence from Price or Montgomery to get them home. I would have thought I'd expect they need a big ton from someone.
And
as much as we've given him a rap, I just want to have a bit of a razz of Nathan Hudson. Like, once you get to 100, the job's not done. That is not alpha behaviour.
I did message him off air the other day, mate, and said, the alpha male's back, and he said the alpha male never went anywhere, so...
Oh, mate, you and I have talked about this. He might be the alpha male if he transfers clubs every week so he can play Wall's End. He's got 2 tons against them and done nothing since.
Yeah, just trade in every week.
So, Nathan, if you can just demonstrate to us that you can play against someone apart from Wall's End, that'd be excellent.
Yeah,
Excellent. A, from my point of view as a committee member at Wallsend, and B, excellent for your future career and Newcastle District Cricket Association most eligible bachelor stakes.
Sounds good, mate.
Move on, mate. Toronto, they went out to Stockton, mate, and look, probably a little bit surprising, I guess. I think a lot of people thought they'd have the rub of the green here. Stockton won and sent them in, and mate, only a couple of starts and found themselves bowled out for 161. Probably by the end of the day, they're in the power seat with Stockton's batting lineup failing to collapse on what was a good bowling display by Ben West, 6 for 40 off 16, and one of the more impressive displays from a Stockton player this year. Very surprising to see Nick Foster only bowl one over, mate, so it must have been fairly green, I'm guessing.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, he normally opens and just bowls from one end.
Yeah, exactly right. So, mate, they're trying something different there. And another thing I note is no Crittenden in their team this week.
No Crittenden, jeez. Where was he?
Not sure, mate. Maybe a retirement home.
Might need to do some investigating, get back to the punters next week.
He might have been at the dentist getting some falsies fitted. I don't know. Maybe he was getting a new mobility scooter. I don't know. What do old people do?
I don't know, mate.
Do you want to ring Macy and find out what he does with his weekends now? And that might give us a hint. They'd be about the same age, wouldn't they? Macy's probably 10 years older than him.
Yeah, Macy's a bit older than him, I believe.
Macy's about 1,000. He's about as old as Shane Tapper.
Yeah, less strappy type.
But yeah, so Stockton find themselves in a bit of trouble at 8 for 63 at stumps. Toronto bowlers shared the wickets around. Probably the pick was Adrian Chadwick, 2 for 7 from 6 with 3 maidens. He was also the pick of their batters, so did a pretty handy job there, Mr. Chad, as we expect from last year's joint Newcastle Herald Player of the Year.
Scoring a lot of half centuries, mate, so...
Mate, that's not a bad thing.
You've been building, mate. I reckon a big one's coming soon.
Yeah, well, that's it. He's got 3 half tons from his last 4 knocks, so he may get another chance to bat on Saturday, but I don't know whether he'll have enough time to put on 100 by the time they clean up the tail of Stockton and then try to bat again, and then we'll probably want to send him back in for another chance at... that'll be an interesting one to watch, actually, mate, to see how that pans out.
Yeah, under that 100 runs, aren't they? So Toronto will have to bat again.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So they'll have to bat again, which makes it a precarious situation because they don't want to risk winning on first innings and losing outright. So you'd think they're probably going to, you know, even if they bowl Stockton out for, say, 90, which would give them a 70-run lead, they're probably going to want to set them at least 150 off less than 30 overs or something like that. So just depending on how long Stockton can bat for, I guess that's going to be Stockton's pure survival mechanism. Maybe Mr. West can do as well with the bat as he did with the ball. He's not out overnight. And I guess that's going to be what they're going to try and hang in there for.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough ask, I reckon. But
I think it'll be really tough for Toronto to get outright win from here because, as you said, they're going to have to bat again. And so then they do run the danger out if they do decide to declare and leave them, you know, 150 with 50 overs or 40 overs to go. Stockton, you know, a couple of batters get in, you know, the likes of Nick Foster, and, you know, he gets a couple of guys going with him. All of a sudden, Toronto find themselves in a danger zone of trying to just bowl dead ball bowling so they don't lose, which is, yeah, I can't see them doing that. I think they'll play it safe rather than risk that if that's the case. So look, Toronto for the first innings win there. Next up, mate, Hamwicks, Newcastle City. Newcastle City won the toss and followed the trend of sending in their opponents. And Hamwicks, exactly like our friends at Toronto Workers, 161 they got. Few blokes with starts, Mr. M. Webber, the Masters superstar, and Hardigan and S. Webber, Big Sam Webber, got a run of ball 29, but not much there. Nichols and Major with 3 wickets each, and Newcastle City, though, they crumbled in return, and 95 they're all out for, and that was only thanks to some rearguard action. I think at one point they were... let's have a look here. They were, 7 for 45. And a handy little 36 cameo top score for their number 8 batsman, Sam Pizell. Got them out of a bit of trouble there, mate. They could have been in a lot more trouble. As it is, they trailed by 66 on first innings.
Yeah, they did. And, yeah, I think it's uphill here for City, mate. Matt Webber obviously took another 3 wickets and he's continuing his good early season captaincy form, mate. But, yeah, I would be very surprised with anything other than a Hamwick's outright win in this game, mate.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Of course, they're having to bat again, mate, because of that low first innings total. It's going to be really interesting. They're 1-for-20 at stumps. So put your hat on as Matt Webber. You know, I know you rated yourself as an all-rounder, so let's have a look at this. What's your tactic? What's your approach going into day two here at 1-for-20? So you're leading currently by 86 runs. What's your target to set for Newcastle City?
I would be looking to bat for about 15 overs.
Yeah.
And I would be hoping to be able to get about 120. So a lead of about 200, I reckon.
So you're looking at going out there, you're expecting to go out there and score 8 and over for 15 overs?
Yep.
Set them 205 to win? Leaving them 75 overs to chase 205 and just backing your bowling attack.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's an interesting one. I would think, based on the fact that they already bowled them out in 33.5 overs, allowing the deck's similar, and considering it's their home deck, I would expect that it'll be a bit of a bowler's deck still, because they want to be able to have wickets fall. I would suggest that they might bat for a little bit longer than 15 overs. I think they might. Maybe just send them in for 5 or 6 before the break. So how many overs are we looking at in that first session? Is it 30?
Yeah, it's yeah. Normally about 30.
I'd say they'll probably look at batting maybe 22 overs, but probably a similar, just so they don't have to be as aggressive about the run score, because 22 overs at about 5.5, 6 and over still gives them that similar lead of about 200, but it just doesn't quite give City as many overs to target it. They've then got to score it over 3 and over and not lose wickets, rather than sort of 2 and a bit, where they can just sort of plod and turn some strike over and maybe start to put some pressure on, and then you have to tighten up your bowling some. So that would be my tactic. I'd be looking at giving them 6 to 8 overs before lunch, just to hopefully pick up a wicket or two before lunch and send them in with their heads down.
Yeah, well, I think we're both probably leaning towards the same thing, mate. So
yeah, look, mate, the chips are in. I think if I was a Hamwick's man, I'd be very disappointed if they didn't walk away with maximum points from here, because it's all in their hands. And I wouldn't be too surprised too if there is a wicket that falls early on Saturday if we see the brothers Webber come in with wanting to score some quick runs. They are coming in up the order a bit more.
Yeah,
S. Webber, and then I would suggest those two will also be the keys with the rock in hand. A little bit surprising, mate, was their leading wicket taker, Abe Gibson, did not bowl in the first innings.
Not required.
He's got a couple of fifers in the last couple of games, but not required here, so that was an interesting tactic. I don't know whether he might be injured, mate. Did take a couple of catches, though, so, keeping an eye on Abe. But moving right along, mate, because we're probably getting fairly long in the tooth. Merriweather versus Waratah Mayfield, mate. Waratah Mayfield again sent in to bat after Merriweather won the toss. It seems to be the trend, mate, across all the games that got on. The other two didn't get on, of course. And Waratah bowled out for 126. Mate, Mr. Geary, 4 for 9 off 13 with 9 maidens.
Yeah, very, very handy, mate. I suppose he carried on his good form from the rep weekend in the third game. He bowled really well, so...
Yeah, exactly right. This one is a little bit in the balance, however, with Merriweather now 5 for 67. So they need another 60 runs to take a first innings lead and 5 wickets in hand, so it's fairly evenly poised, this one, mate. Certainly be interesting to see. The usual suspects, Robbins and Durheim taking the wickets. But this one's probably a little bit surprising for many, mate.
Certainly, especially at home, mate, for the old Merriweather, their favourite turning deck. But I think they're going to have to call on everything they've got here, mate. But I'm probably leaning towards a Waratah upset here, mate.
Yeah, look, mate, I can't overlook how deep Merriweather bat, though. That's my thing. Remembering Tim O'Neill got 80-something the other week. Geary can bat. There's a few of those other blokes. Courtney Moulton's chimed in with a couple of starts. They really don't need that much. They just need a couple of these players to pick up some 20s. Geary's on 4 not out of 43 rocks, so he's scoring at a rapid pace. Look, they're not in any hurry. They'll be focusing on just getting the first innings result, and I think Merriweather will scrape home with one wicket in hand. Look for Mr. O'Neill to be the man, and maybe either one of the currently not out batsmen overnight, probably Geary, to bat through to the end with him. And as I said, they only need 60 runs, which, you know, doesn't sound like much, but depending on what's going on, and as Pakistan showed the other day, it can be a lot.
Yeah, that is correct, mate. I think all the games are going to be entertaining on Saturday.
Well, mate, there's points in the offing in every game. The Wall's End one, as we said, a couple of early wickets could really make that difficult for them. But the other ones literally can go either way, and, you know, a risky declaration here or things could really add some excitement. So, yeah, certainly take the opportunity to get out to some games. Mate, speaking of excitement, Toronto Workers and Stockton, second grade, out of Ron Hill Oval. And another team, mate, it seemed like the thing to do on the weekend. Toronto sent Stockton into bat, and, mate, only one person got the double figures and only one person outscored the extras. Oh, sorry, two people outscored the extras.
Game out there, mate, from all reports.
Yeah, mate. So who are the standouts?
The standouts was the second grade opening bowler from Toronto Workers, mate, Mitch Glennie. He took had a day out, mate, 7 for 29 in the first innings of Stockton getting all out for 44, mate. So
yeah,
very
aggressive captaincy by Toronto. They posted 6 for 144, and after only 68.5 overs, sent Stockton back in.
Yeah, they did. They're obviously smelling blood there, mate, and obviously they want Glennie to back up his first innings in the second innings.
I like it, mate. It's a good tactic. I don't see a problem with it. Back yourself. You just hope that it doesn't somehow backfire on them, but it would be interesting to see. And yeah, Mr. Glennie was very impressive, but was just pipped for our player of the week, as chosen by Matt's Mowing and Maintenance. So we'll get to that in a moment, mate. But you had a standout from the third grade as well, I believe.
Yeah, he's old. Obviously, we had a representative from Charlestown last week in second grade, but third grade stalwart Andrew Standing, mate. He took figures of 5 for 43 off 22.4 overs in their match versus Cardiff. Had a day out, obviously he didn't want his son to get all the limelight from the week before, so yeah, well done to Stando, who, yeah, led from the front and got 5 for, mate.
Mate, I reckon I can go one better than that in the third grade. Michael Wilkinson from Newcastle City, playing against Hamwicks. Hamwicks were bowled out for 82 in 26.4 overs. He took 5 for 6 off 9 overs.
5 for 6, wow.
He then opened the batting and got a duck, so not all his day. But they did finish 7 for 171 with a 90-run lead, Newcastle City. So it's good to see in the lower grades they are putting up a bit more fight than probably their first grade might be. And, mate, great to see some players really stepping up. It is a little bit hard with some of the results because not all the scorecards are complete. So if you're involved with the local club and there is a standout performer and you want to give us a bit of a rundown, feel free to either message us on our Facebook page or shoot an email to sportscastleau@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to mention a few select ones, and we like to try and move it around the clubs as well. So if there's a few of those other clubs that may not have got too many mentions with standout performances, if you have a bloke that steps up, or, you know, a young kid that steps into grade and does something, you know, on his grade debut, gets a good start or gets a couple of wickets or something like that, let us know. Happy to give some mentions to, you know, the up-and-comers as well as the guys that are some of the seasoned campaigners. And seasoned campaigners, mate, probably tails in pretty well to Matt's selection for the player of the week. This man's many people who are more seasoned outside of the likes of some Terry Crittendens and those guys. Gary Geese rolling the arm over in second grade for Wall's End, took 6 for 26, and as we said, The young fellow from Toronto did get 7 for, but the thing that got Geesey home from his 13 overs was a hat trick. Mate, you don't see too many of them. I know that I was told by Toronto there was a young guy in the under-13s whose name escapes me. I do apologise, but he got a hat-trick and he only took 3 wickets. I think he got 3 for 1 off 1 over or something. So well done to him.
Nice.
But fast bowlers Gary Geese and Trent Nash put on absolute clinic for Wallsend's second grade. They took all 10 of the wickets between them, but Geesey 6 for 26 and a hat-trick. That sees him named as the Matthews Mowing and Maintenance Player of the Week. Which earns Mr. Geese a 1 hour of free mowing or maintenance for his yard and home, or maybe he'll put it towards George Farley. Matt can go out and mow a quarter of the yard, a quarter of the pitch.
He'll love that.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Get him on the roller. Get him on the heavy roller, the old manual one.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, well done to Geesey, though. Very good day out, mate. There was a few contributions from individuals this week for their teams, mate. So Matt definitely had his hand full picking a winner there.
He did, mate. He did. I don't know if it might not have hurt the fact that there was a bit of a name there, I'm guessing. But that's all right. We'll try and guide him over coming weeks. So next week it will be the Newcastle District First Grade Player of the Round. So we will alternate across the 2-day competition, mate, as we talked about. Week to week, so look, trying to get a bit of spread for the lower grades, and looking forward to it, mate. There's plenty happening, I will just mention on that one, a good fight back for uni. They were 8 for 40 and managed to get 90, so not a bad wag in the tail, and again, mate, just another little one, mate, from the world of CNS. There was some conversation around. So Wallsend's got a team in the C1 CNS, mate. They batted, got 9 for 156 off their 35 overs against the Beach Hotel. They bowled out the Beach Hotel for 12 with 4 extras.
4 extras. Nice.
That did bring a few people talking about it. Apparently Redhead in the A grade earlier this season got bowled out for 6. Mate, they need an A grade too. They need to call you back to. You need to get back to Redhead, mate.
Yeah,
I reckon I might get a run. Yeah, I might get a run, mate. Jeez.
Yeah, I reckon you could.
So yeah, some crazy stuff happening in the world of CNS. So that's the Newcastle cricket for this week, mate. We'll just have a look at the. I'll just bring up the Player of the Year standings. They will go up on our social media channels tomorrow morning.
Is that after that?
Yeah, we will get that one next, mate. We'll just do one thing at a time, all right?
Very excited about this.
Mate, you're going off early. Eric has told me about this. This is how you end up with 4 kids.
Yeah, that is true. She's bunged up, so she can't run away anymore, mate.
Oh, Jesus, kids 5, 6, and 7 are on their way. You're definitely going to need that bigger house.
Yeah, certainly will.
Oh, so if anyone wants to buy a 3-bedroom house in Waratah for $1 million, get in touch with us.
John O'Toomey.
Yeah, well, John O'Toomey and Pierce could go halves in it. It could be the new the Waratah Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, that's right. Bill can be the supervisor, mate.
Yeah, I don't know about that, mate. I'm just finding the latest standings, mate. Here we go. As expected, he holds his lead, even though he didn't he didn't break any records on the weekend. Nathan Price on 22. The clear beta male, Nathan Hudson, is on 17. Abe Gibson on 15, Joe Price 15, Brad Aldiss on 13, a new entry to the top 10, Andrew Harriet on 12, Adrian Chad drifts down to 10, Daniel Chillingworth from Charlestown on 9, Simon Keane on 9. Those two have been sitting there for a while, mate. They're starting to drift down towards the back end.
I think you're right. Simon Keane will be on 9 at the end of the year too, I reckon.
Well, yeah, just unless he does something in the T20s if he comes up. Yeah. But the other new entrant in the top 10, mate, Ben West.
Ben West.
Yeah, so he's on 8 points. So just shows, you know, a couple of good performances. You can find yourself well up into that leaderboard. And, certainly looking to see what Mr. Price can do with the bat this weekend to see if he can extend his lead. And obviously the Alpha Price will be very interesting because Nathan didn't get much done last week and Joe didn't play. So we'll be watching that with a keen interest, mate. And that's about it on the Newcastle District cricket scene. We will move on to the Newcastle Steel, mate. Another opportunity on Sunday for some of the boys to show their wares, I guess.
Yeah, the big boys are coming to town, mate.
That they are, downtown Vorata Oval, I believe.
The home of cricket, they call it now, mate.
Mate, I don't think anyone's ever called it that. Everyone knows the home of cricket is Waratah number 5.
I thought you were going to say Lords, but yeah, that's probably right.
No, Lords. Mate, you got to have a good home team to be the home of cricket.
Yeah, they do. They got plenty of banner off the field, mate. They're working their way up, the boys. So
yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right, mate. If it was, if the eligible bachelor was determined by shit chat, they'd be giving me a run for my money.
That'd be one and two.
And daylight third. All right, so this weekend at Waratah Oval, mate, Newcastle take on Mossman in the early game, mate. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure exactly where Mossman are sitting or how they're going, but...
Mossman did lose their last game to Randwick Petersham. But they do have an interesting name in their mixed, a Sri Lankan import, I believe.
Sri Lankan import?
That's what I'm assuming. Danul Dasanayake. So I'm just trying to have a look. He's got a Sri Lankan name, and I was reading something about them having an import, so I'm assuming I put two and two together and probably come up with five.
Yeah, David Warner running around for them, mate, so that would have been a tough day out for them.
Yeah, correct. David Warner in that match, 63 off 32 balls.
Yeah, nice. Well, I think Newcastle's going to get it done. Captain Price will obviously be still smarting from his rep country weekend the week before. Obviously, a lot of them blokes are hanging around, and the Alpha Price is back in this weekend, mate, so... Yeah, I think they'll get it done against Mossman, and I expect a big one from Joe Price. I think he's going to come out firing.
I believe it'll be Price and Price opening the batting, so it could be a shootout. Like we talked about, maybe, you know, just as long as they don't run each other out, we'll be all laughing. So that one is at 10 a.m. and then at 2:30 they take on Sydney. Hang on, what's happened there? Sorry, I just had a bit of a glitch on the laptop here, mate. Sydney still haven't named their team, but Newcastle boys have. I'm just going to have a look back at Sydney's games. They have defeated Eastern Suburbs and UNSW, so they're undefeated so far, whereas, as we said, Mossman have only played the one game and they lost that to Randwick Petersham. So it appears, I'm just having a look to confirm that was the case. So Sydney, let's just have a look and see who Sydney may be featuring. If there's any names we might know there is. Their wicketkeeper is one Bo McClintock.
Former Belmont player, mate.
Former Belmont player, yeah, exactly right. And he's been having a run. Unfortunately, he's only had the one bat in the T20 so far and he got two. So,
it's going to be a bit tougher than the first by the look of it, mate.
Yeah, I agree, mate. Certainly interesting to see the step up in class. But look, it's not going to be easy for either game for Newcastle to get the win. They're taking that step up in class. But I think they will walk away with one win and one loss from that, from those matches, mate.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll definitely, well, I'm not saying definite, I think I'm confident they'll win the first game, mate. And yeah, Price will be happy with a win in that game, and yeah, it'll be a lot tougher in the second game.
Yeah, exactly. If they bat first in that first game, I think they will post about 160 plus with maybe a 100 plus opening run partnership.
Off 6 overs.
It's going to be rain effect. They're only going to play 6 overs. They're still going to get 160 plus.
110 off the first six, and tripped over by Joe Price.
Well, Pricey and Monty have showed that 43 off and 41 off an over is doable. So you know why not? They got that record to claim back after the 43 the other day.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But also doubling is Old Boys Day down there, mate, at Waratah Oval on Sunday.
Is it?
Yeah, Waratah. So they're obviously trying to get a lot of former players down there, trying to make a big day out of it, and big crowd supporting the Steel boys. But yeah, definitely get on down and watch some quality cricket come to town, mate.
Yeah, mate, and meet the illustrious Bill Pappas.
Yeah, he will be down there, mate. He'll be down there with young Cost running around and entertaining everyone down there.
You'll be taking the gang down for a look, mate.
I possibly will pop in for an hour or so, mate, but yeah, moving house is taking up a lot of my time at the moment.
Moving house? You're not moving yet, mate.
I'm getting ready to move and getting ready to...
Mate, yeah, I'm telling you, I'll give you a pointer for decluttering.
Yeah.
There's three items in your house you need to get rid of.
Saxon, Erica and Kinley.
I was going to say Saxon, Byron and Toby, but righto. I noticed that Deacon didn't feature anyone, so he's everyone's favourite.
Deacon's quiet, mate. He's a pokey little puppy.
Until he beats his sister up anyway.
That's true. That is true.
Maybe he was the one that beat Erica up as well. It's the quiet ones you got to watch, mate.
Yeah, that's right. He's very sneaky.
Yeah, he is very sneaky, mate. Him and Frank, you got to watch them when they get together.
That is true.
But all right, mate, that's probably enough dribble for one evening. Thank you very much, as always, for your insight and your predictable tipping of the home team.
Yeah, well, we'll go all the away teams next week just for something different, mate.
Yeah, beautiful. It'll be even better if you actually name them. Mate, there'll be plenty next week with the Jets back on the paddock and plenty more stuff coming your way. We'll be starting to look at... that Newcastle District Cricket Bachelor of the Year. We've had some nominations, official nominations from a club already, so the other 11 clubs need to pull their finger out. All we need is just a name shot through to us again via any of the social media channels or to sportscastlau@gmail.com or to either of us personally. Again, we really need them to be consenting participants because we're going to have to ask them some questions in their survey, I guess is what we'll call it, in the initial rounds. And we're just working on a few more interviews as well, mate. Plenty more content. I do apologise, that James Beattie interview was quite crackly. Had a bit of technical difficulties. But again, thank you to James for giving up his time. And a big thanks that these shows wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, mate. Troy and Aerolax Australia. I see he's just gotten on board with the Canberra Raiders, supplying them a bunch of gear. So install them as premiership favourites. And the other thing is you can always get in touch with Troy as well. He's got the brand names escape me, but custom fit mouth guards, and he's also got the massage rollers and the massage balls and stuff. So everything you need for recovery or protection of your fangs, mate, he's got it all.
He does, mate, he does. He's all over everything and he works very hard. But yeah, he's a great supporter of our show, mate. We love him.
And a big congrats, a very belated congrats. It was announced a couple of weeks ago, but Troy has been named as, I believe, the head trainer or one of the trainers for the Newcastle Knights Jersey Flegg side for 2019. So big congrats. It's another passion of his, which probably links into his recovery gear, mate. He's right into the strength and conditioning and the trainer roles and stuff. He did it with Poland in the Emerging Nation World Cup. And, big congrats to Troy on a fairly coveted position, mate.
It is. It definitely is. And, as you said, he is very passionate, but he's also seen him firsthand, mate. He's very good. And
oh, definitely.
He treats all his, they're not patients. I suppose everyone in the teams he's in, like their own son, and he definitely goes above and beyond, mate.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Maybe we need to put him in touch with Shane Tapper. Shane can pay him by the hour. Troy will be a rich man. again, our other sponsors, Primax Sports Tours, anything you want to do in terms of going away to see away games or travelling for tournaments or anything, let them know. They do a lot of tailored stuff. They don't necessarily do like specific group packages, but they will do tailored stuff. Anything you need, they can organise as little or as much of it as you want, from transfers and airfares through to accommodation and tickets, and plenty of other things in between. And of course, the sponsor of our player awards, Matt's Mowing and Maintenance, great friends of the show, and hopefully Mr. Geese enjoys his free hour of lawn mowing. I understand not too many of the players have been taking it up, mate, which is, you're looking the gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
I know you keep trying to nominate yourself so you can get your lawn, mate.
Yeah, Yeah, I would love to get my lawn mowed by Matthew. He's first class, mate.
Mate, I get him to look after all my stuff, mate. He does a great job. Tidies up the gardens and all, and very, very good rates as well. So, again, I'll share his page in the coming week, and make sure to give it a like and get around it and just support the guys that support the show, because without them, doing what we do would be a lot more difficult. Finally, obviously, our social media channel, SportsCastleAU, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and via email for anything you want to send in, fan mail, I'm not sure, hate mail, probably more likely, advice, life advice for Jared on how to not have any more children, I don't know. If you've got some, you know, if you want to start an argument about women's sport, we can pass stuff on to Al and give him your phone number. That's not a problem.
He loves it.
He loves it, mate. If you bag women's sport, he will concur and agree with you wholeheartedly. But, mate, thanks again, as I said, for your time. I know we take you away from your kids late at night and, you know, all your other priorities of moving house and stuff. So thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening in. And we will catch everyone, I suppose, next week, mate. Haven't got anything better to do next week.
Yeah, for episode 42, mate.
Hey, we're creeping up on that half ton.
Yeah. Enjoy your sport, boys and girls.
Yeah, get down and enjoy it. Thanks again, mate, and catch everyone next week.